Well, good evening. Good to see everybody here.
Last week we finished the last chapter, chapter 28 of the book of Acts. And so this week is going to be a summary. And I suggested that everybody read back through their notes and through the book, and we'll give you a test. Right? But we're going to summarize it. We spent a period of 90 weeks, probably 80 out of those 90 weeks, studying Acts. And I think I mentioned last week that we covered over 46 hours of classroom time studying the book of Acts. First with Jim, and then picking up in chapter 16 with myself last July, I believe it was. So, what did we learn? First question, is Acts a crucial book? By the way, I use a black background for no other reason than to try to get the letters to spring out on our tan wall here. So is Acts a crucial book? Anybody have a comment on that? Any thoughts?
Absolutely.
I see a nod. I hear a word.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
The fact that it's in the Bible, of course, and that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that it's God's Word, makes it a crucial book. But why? Why is it a crucial book?
Because in it, the church is established. We have the growth of the church.
Church is established. Church grows.
Church is persecuted.
It survives persecution. That it? Anybody else care to add anything else?
Remember verse 1 of the first chapter. Verse 8 of the first chapter. When Jesus commanded the apostles, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all and to the end of the earth." That's Acts 1:8. And that, to a certain degree, summarizes what the book of Acts is about. A very broad brush. It serves as a bridge, doesn't it? When it falls in the Bible, in the New Testament, we've just had the four Gospels, including the Gospel of Luke, interspersed by the Gospel of John, and then the book of Acts, written by Luke.
So it serves as a bridge, physically and literally, between the Gospels and the Epistles. It narrates the continuing work of the resurrected Christ, the continuing work through his church. On this rock I shall build my church. And it provides, as Letha pointed out, present-day churches with a pattern. Wouldn't be any good to just establish a church and not tell us what we need to do to make that church grow generation by generation. So it's a pattern for what? For conversion, for church growth, for evangelism, for missions, and discipleship. Anybody think of anything else? It's a how-to manual. As a pilot, I always loved the how-to books. It's really hard to fly an airplane without a how-to book. Some people say that the book of Acts can be split up or outlined into two major categories, the Jews and the Gentiles. I take exception to that because there's just so much more than just that. And it has to do more with verse 8 of chapter 1 than any man-made organizational chart. It starts out with the birth of the church and how it spreads the gospel in Jerusalem, the first eight chapters. And then it spreads the gospel in all Judea and Samaria, as Christ ordained. That's up through chapter 12. And then it goes on to indicate the missionary expansion of the church by the Apostle Paul in particular, but not alone, Apostle Paul in particular, to the end of the earth. So how did it start the in Jerusalem. It starts with Jesus' ascension, goes on to Pentecost, and then it shows the roots of the gospel, Peter's first sermon, and how there was aggressive opposition. Apostles were jailed, disciples were jailed, they escaped. They escaped by miracle and otherwise. But it was an aggressive opposition, so God had to put his hand in it to make it work. There was the appointment of the seven that the apostles wanted to oversee the work of the church, and then Stephen's martyrdom. And as the gospel spread throughout Judea and Samaria, we saw Philip the evangelist and his conversion, his acts of conversion, the conversion of the eunuch, the conversion of Saul. Was that a significant event? Is that critical? God saw fit to intervene with Paul's plans, didn't he? And Paul decided to obey the heavenly vision and become a Christian himself. And with that, we have most of the books of the Bible, of the New Testament. And of course, Peter took the gospel to the Gentiles here. And of course, there was disagreement among the former Jews as to how the Gentiles should be treated as Christians, what they had to do. And that got worked out. And then the gospel started expanding more. The missionary expansion of the church, primarily by the Apostle Paul, started off with Paul as Saul and Barnabas, on the first missionary journey. And then the Jerusalem conference to determine what was fit for Christians and what the Jews had already believed and already been taught, and how that was no longer required. The law was no longer necessary. It was circumcision in particular was the question. It shows the confirmation of the planting of new churches, the ministry of Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey. The third missionary journey continues with Paul and Silas, and then Paul, as we just got through studying, takes the gospel to Rome. So remember what Jesus said, chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. And that's what they did. This breaks down the three major categories that I picked out, Acts 1 through 7 and 8 through 12 and 13 through 28, into columns. It shows the areas where the church spread. It's on the back side of the handout that I've given you. It shows the overall theme. It's kind of hard to pick a single theme, but it shows the power of his church initially in Jerusalem, the power of the church, how it grew. It shows that it was primarily addressed to the Jews, the Jew first, and then the Gentile. Peter was the key character in that time frame. And that time frame, the total time frame of Acts was what? How long? Answer's up there. What was the total time frame of Acts, the book of Acts?
30.
About 30 years. From about 33 AD to 63 AD, which is roughly a generation, right? It took about a generation, or Luke covers about a generation's time for the gospel to be planted and spread throughout the world. So it first started in Jerusalem, as you can see in the oblong area down there at the bottom. There's Jerusalem. And then the tan is Judea, Samaria. That's where it first spread. Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria. Salvation is for everyone. The church grew. The Samaritans were addressed. The Gentiles were addressed through Cornelius, the centurion, Saul, later to be called Paul, Peter, and Philip were the main characters of that section. And it took about an 11-year period, transitioning and changing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in Acts 13 through 28, Paul expanded it beyond, way beyond the borders of Samaria and Judah to the end of the earth, the known earth at that time, which was the Roman Empire, primarily encompassing the Roman Empire. The Jew first, the Gentiles. And throughout all these periods, we read about persecution. We read about trials and tribulations. We read about how some were martyred and how many overcame to get the gospel out there to the ends of the earth. So, we've come to the end of Acts, right? Or the end of the beginning. The first 30 years of the church, what about the next 1970 or so years? Well, we are part of that history, aren't we? And I hope that we've all learned something from our study of the book of Acts as to what's expected of us as Christians. Obviously, we're not miracle workers or healers. That was the first century. But we do have God's word written before us now. We have it to base upon any discussions we have with people. It's a book to study from, the New Testament in particular. And we all have all that information and ammunition. And it's something that's going to come in handy in a couple of weeks when we have our Mayfest community outreach, I guess you call it. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add about their observation on the book of Acts?
It's really hard to, like you said, to pick out one particular thing because so much is covered in it. Mm-hmm.
If you go back to chapter 1, see if I can remember exactly where it was. Chapter 1:1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And then you come down to the part where Jesus says in verse 8, you'll receive power, and he tells them where they're going to go. And in verse 11, men of Galilee, why are you standing there gazing into heaven? Jesus is gone for now. It's time to get to work, right? And that's what Luke records throughout this history, throughout the book. Any other thoughts?
Well, I wasn't here when Jim was covering it, but I think you've done a pretty good job so far. For what I've seen.
So far, I'm done.
For what I've seen, that is.
Because of your comment there, Jim taught Acts about 4 years ago, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago. We went through Acts, and it was, I guess he called that a sort of a basic Acts class. This was designed to be a class that brought us more into the lives of the apostles and the disciples and everything that they were doing, the hows and the whys and the wherefores. Obviously, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit that we read through it, but we've gotten a lot deeper than we had done before, and that's the way Jim started this segment off when he started in July of 2017 as a more advanced class. And I hope that I've carried that through as well.